As was announced, the scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 6. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk."
To be here tonight. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. What are you willing to give? I think most of us realize that the religion of our Lord is founded upon giving. You remember, of course, probably the most popular passage in the Bible, John 3, and at verse 16. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. And the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for God's willingness to give, we wouldn't be here tonight. There would be no hope of salvation at all. Our destiny would be sealed. But thankfully, God was willing to give, and of course, he gave the greatest gift of all, and that is his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But again, our religion then begins and ends with the business of giving. And because God is such a giving God, he expects us to be givers as well. So the question is, what are you willing to give? In Acts chapter 3, if you have your Bible, turn over there to the scripture reading again, but we'll reread that. But let's begin at the very beginning of that text. And you're probably familiar with Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are on their way to the temple. And at verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple." And so we find that this man understood, like a lot of individuals who, because of the circumstances of their life, are forced to beg to survive, they kind of know the right spot to go to. And there was probably no better prime spot than Gate Beautiful. That, at that time, was a very busy place. That was the way that individuals usually would go into the temple. We can't be sure exactly what gate that was. There really was no Gate Beautiful. That was kind of a nickname. It was probably the East Gate, but it was a road that was very popular. And so that was a good spot to be laid if you were going to be asking alms of individuals. But you notice here that it says that seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." Now, you understand, of course, that in this situation, we're not unfamiliar with individuals who find a particular spot and they ask alms of people. And most of the time, most people will simply ignore them. They certainly won't look in their direction, because once you make eye contact with one who is asking alms in a similar situation, it raises their expectation. They begin to think that you are going to respond and that you're going to help them. And of course, that is a natural thing, and so a lot of people won't even look in their direction. But you can imagine this man, once he notices that both Peter and John are now gazing upon them, and then Peter even speaks to him, you realize that his hope must be sky high. He probably is convinced that they are going to give him alms. And in fact, you notice what the record says about that. It says, "And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them." And that's usually how it works when the eyes meet in that kind of situation. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold." What do you think that did to his heart? He must have been disappointed immediately. perhaps even a little bit mad, but he didn't have too much time to contemplate it because Peter right away followed that up with, "What I do have, I give to you." And of course, the rest is history. You're familiar with this context, and Peter and John, of course, heal him from being lame, and he is able to walk. In fact, he jumps up, he leaps up, and he rejoices. And this great miracle had a wonderful impression upon a lot of people, and individuals were led to Christ ultimately because of it. But I want you to notice what Peter says once again. At verse 6, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." What are you willing to give? The first thing I want to suggest to you, there's all kinds of things that we can give as Christians. It doesn't have to be silver and gold. But before I even get into that, I want to emphasize that we do have an obligation to give financially. And I know that most of us know that as Christians, but we need to be reminded from time to time because we don't talk about that very often. We don't preach on giving very much. It might be one of the subjects that we talk about and teach about and preach about less than anything else. Nevertheless, we do have an obligation. We read or referred to, I think we had on the screen this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where we are commanded to lay by in store. In fact, let's go over to that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want you to notice, again, a familiar context. But it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put something aside and to store it up as he may prosper, so that there is no collecting when I come." Notice that the first part of that, Paul, in speaking as an inspired apostle, he says, "as I directed the churches of Galatians." If I'm not mistaken, the King James uses the word command. And the fact of the matter is, as individual Christians, when we are, as a congregation, laying by in store, each and every member is commanded to participate in that. And so we have an obligation. Whether we talk about it much or preach on it often, it doesn't change the fact that you have an obligation to give. I'm afraid that there are some souls in the body of Christ who are going to be lost because they simply shrug off that command. Now, I've often said, we can't pick and choose what commandments we're going to keep. There is no command you can just put aside and say, well, we don't have to really give too much thought about that. You can lose your soul for not giving as you have been prospered. We said this morning, we're not commanded today to tithe. It doesn't have to be a tenth, but you need to give in a way that's pleasing to God. You need to give, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in a cheerful way. Not grudgingly, but you're obligated to give. And so what are you willing to give? Do you participate in that? Now someone says, but I just don't have very much to give. Or maybe you've been laid off from your job. Maybe you're not even employed. Maybe you don't have anything to give at all. The fact of the matter is, all of us have something to give. Even if it's not silver and gold. We have something we can give. And the question is, do we have that mentality that Peter and John suggested when they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you." What are you willing to give? What are you willing to give to God? What are you willing to give to brethren? What are you willing to give to the world? What are you willing to give? There's a lot of things we can give. I always like the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you turn your Bible there. And you notice this is another passage that is talking about giving financially. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the discussion centers around the same subject as 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's giving to the same cause, the poor saints in Jerusalem. But you notice at verse 1, it says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." They gave cheerfully, didn't they? They begged Paul to have a part in that task. But it says, of taking part in the relief of the saints, in this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to us. We can all do that, can't we? What are you willing to give? Are you willing to give yourself to God? The fact of the matter is, if we're willing to do as these brethren did in Macedonia, if we first give ourselves, give our lives, give our hearts to God, the giving in the other areas will just come naturally. Are you willing to give yourself to the Lord? It doesn't matter how much silver and gold you have. All of us can make up in our mind, I'm going to put God first in my life. I'm going to give God my heart and serve Him before anybody and anything else. We can do that. Are you willing to do that? He said, that's an awful lot to give. But think about what God gave. He gave His one and only. He gave His only begotten Son. The least we can do is give ourselves to God. And again, if we do that, then we'll give other things. What are you willing to give to brethren? Are you willing to attend services every time the doors are open? To assemble with the saints as you should? That's a type of giving. I think sometimes we forget. We come together, of course, to worship God. That's first and foremost. It is good for us to think about that. We should always, when we come together, have on our minds, we're here to worship God before anything else. And that is absolutely true, but it's not the only reason we come together. We come together to help one another. Are you willing to do that? Not just to our assemblies on Sunday, but are you willing to attend all the Bible classes? Are you willing to come out to gospel meetings when we get those back going again? Will you come to every night of the gospel meeting? What are you willing to give? And that's important giving. We are familiar, of course, with the one passage that tells us not to forsake the assembly in Hebrews chapter 10. But sometimes I think that we forget what the context says. We only focus on verse 25 and the idea of not forsaking the assembly. But turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and let's just go ahead and read it beginning at verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and at verse 24 it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Now right away, you begin to understand that this isn't all about me. It's not just me coming out to worship God. It's about helping brethren. And our assemblies certainly do that. They are to be edifying. They are to build one another up. And so he says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but, listen to it, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I've said before, when you forsake the assembly, that really is an act of selfishness. It is very uplifting when you have a full house, so to speak. And what I mean by that simply is the majority of our own members here. That's very encouraging. When you have a service and people are forsaking the assembly and the crowds are low and people who should be in their spot are not in their spot, it becomes discouraging. And so are you willing to give yourself to the point that you attend all of the services, you help make all of our assemblies edifying and encouraging to brethren? What are you willing to give? And then it goes beyond just the physical assembling of ourselves together. What are you willing to give the local church? Particularly, brethren, what are you willing to do? When it comes down to participating in the services, we always need brethren to play a part. Every congregation, whether small or large, need brethren and can always use more brethren to lead in the public services. Like praying and reading scripture and waiting on the Lord's table. Are you, if you're a brother here, a member of this congregation, what are you willing to give? Are you willing to participate and to help to make our services be what God wants them to be, to take the load off of some of the brethren who have to perhaps do more because other people are doing less? What are you willing to give? There's always something to give. Even if you don't have a whole lot of silver and gold, there's something to give. I tell you, something we can all give along these lines is simply nothing more than a good attitude. What are you willing to give? It's wonderful when everyone has a wonderful attitude, a supportive attitude, one towards another and towards the leadership. I remember what the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews chapter 13. Turn over there and notice that verse 17, as the Hebrews writer speaks in this particular place of the elders, and most people conclude that's the case. The language almost demands it. Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Some brethren deny this is referring to elders, but who else could it be referring to? The elders are the overseers. They are the ones who watch over our soul. And so the Hebrews writer says, obey your leaders. But watch, he says, as those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Are you willing to give a good attitude? To be supportive of the elders and decisions that they make? But I don't always agree with decisions that they make. That's okay. Are you willing to have a good attitude and to give that, even if you don't agree with all the decisions that are made? Are you willing just to have that positive mentality when you come together with Christians? It's wonderful to be around others who are filled with joy, who are rejoicing in the Lord and excited to be here. And you can just sense sometimes people are down, and that's normal. We're all down sometimes. But you don't want to be like that all the time. That becomes depressing. That becomes something that drags other people down. Are you willing to give a good attitude, a joyful attitude? What are you willing to give? I'll tell you something else we can give, and Matt made mention of it in his announcements, but we certainly can give prayer, can't we? It doesn't matter how much silver and gold you have. Maybe you will be, again, just like Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'll give to you. And that might just be prayer. Can you give that? Yes, but are you willing to do that? When's the last time you prayed for the Brown Street Church of Christ? And do you do that regularly? And we have no way of knowing how often either of us pray or what kind of prayers we pray. And so just ask yourself, do you regularly pray for the saints here at Brown Street? We know there are prayers led sometimes publicly by brethren, for the elders, sometimes for me, the preacher. But how often do you pray at home, in the privacy of your own home? Do you pray for the elders? Call them by name and pray for the work that they're doing here at Brown Street. That's something you can give. What are you willing to give? Do you pray for the sick and the shut-in of the Brown Street Church? Do you pray for our growth, our numerical growth and spiritual growth? What are you willing to give? We certainly all can give prayer, but the question is, are we? And what are you willing to give to the world? There's one thing that we can all give to the world, and that, of course, is the gospel of Christ. Are you willing to give that? Like giving financially, I'm afraid that too often we don't give that one thing that we can all give. And one of the most important things to give, that is the spiritual seed of the kingdom. What are you willing to give? In fact, when I go back over to Acts chapter 3, I understand in the immediate context when Peter uttered the words that he did, when he tells this man who couldn't walk from birth that what I have I'm willing to give, he was in the immediate situation there. He was going to give him his ability to walk. But is that all that Peter was talking about? The one thing I know is when you look at the context of Acts chapter 3, it was, as I said in the very beginning, that great miracle had an impression upon the people, and that was the very reason for doing it. Remember, in the days of miracles, those miracles were done for a purpose. They were to confirm the word of God. And so when you continue to read Acts chapter 3, you see Peter preaching what is the second gospel sermon that we have record of. And when you get to chapter 4, you find that many people believed. And that's just kind of in a comprehensive sense, it means that those people believed and were baptized. They, in other words, became members of the body of Christ. And I'm not convinced at all, but that Peter didn't have that in mind. I couldn't prove it to you, but there's little doubt that man who was made whole physically was also made whole spiritually. Was he not a part of the people who believed? It's hard to imagine that he wasn't. And if that's the case, wasn't that even a greater thing for Peter and John to give that individual than the ability to walk? Isn't that more important than silver and gold? The greatest thing that man received, if it be the case, was the gospel of Christ and the salvation that came when he obeyed it. That's the greatest thing you could ever give anybody. Maybe you don't have a lot to give other people financially. Maybe you can't help that fella out who is asking alms on the corner or wherever he may be. But you can always give the spiritual seed of the kingdom. What are you willing to give? Are you willing to give individuals around you the gospel? That's a wonderful thing to give. You can think of other things that we can give those who are not members of the body of Christ, that you can give brethren, that you can give God. But let's have the attitude of Peter and John. No, I don't have a whole lot of silver and gold, but what I do have, I'm willing to give. Don't keep some of these kind of things that we've talked about tonight to yourself. Use your talents and ability, if you're a brother, to serve the congregation publicly. Use your ability to pray, the privilege of prayer that you have. Use that not only for yourself, but to help other people. Be willing to give. The question is, what are you willing to give? I hope we all can say a lot. I'm willing to give a lot. I'm willing to give whatever I can to help people around me. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that tonight? Jesus gave up everything. He died on Calvary's cross just so that you can have the hope of eternal life. To make it a reality, though, you have to obey the gospel. You have to repent and be baptized, Acts 2 at verse 38. And then you have to be faithful unto death. If you're here tonight and you haven't been faithful, why not do something about that? Why not repent of your sins and pray God, Acts chapter 8 at verse 22. And God then will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you've sinned publicly, come forward so we can pray for you, encourage you, and help you in any way that we can. But don't leave tonight in an undone condition. It's just not worth the risk. Get right with God and do it right now as we together stand and sing.